You are listening to CKUT 90.3 FM, and this is the Tuesday Morning After. Today, I will be speaking about the Occupy Wall Street mass demonstration in a global perspective. Occupy Wall Street has been taking place in New York City's financial district since September 17th. We are joined on the phone from New York by Marina Citrin. She is the editor of Horizontalism, Voices of Popular Power in Argentina, and Everyday Revolutions, Horizontalism and Autonomy in Argentina, and she is co-editor of the forthcoming Insurgent Democracies, Latin America's New Powers. She has a JD from SUNY Law School and a PhD in Global Sociology from Stony Brook University. Welcome, Marina.
Oh, it's great to be here. Good morning.
Marina, what has been your involvement thus far in the Occupy Wall Street demonstrations?
Well, I've been involved actually from before we occupied Wall Street. So different than the myth that it was only internet, there were actually hundreds of people who were organizing in advance. And we were having assemblies in Tompkins Square Park in the Lower East Side in New York, talking about actually more the day of the 17th and how we wanted to organize. Bring people together not only for the March on Wall Street, but then in the form of assemblies, you know, inspired by the movements around the world, bringing people together face to face to talk about what, you know, what the crisis meant to them and what possible alternatives we could have. And then we held the plaza, and then we've since continued to hold it. So I've been involved mainly in the legal working group, but also thinking about questions overall of structure and facilitation. We're facing this wonderful challenge of now having so many people, thousands of people who come into the plaza, that we're having to rethink how we organize our assemblies each evening, because 1,000 people in a general assembly can sometimes be very challenging.
So what factors have been contributing to the growth and especially the growing solidarity even from those not occupying the plaza?
Well, I mean, I think it resonates with people. Clearly, there's this crisis, and the government, corporations, those who have forms of official power are doing nothing except making the crisis work. So when people came into the street and just said, I think it was quite strong that we didn't have a list of demands. We just came and said, here's this crisis. This is who's generally responsible, and we need to come together to think about what kinds of alternatives there are. That resonated with people everywhere. And the fact that it is open, and I think the forms of democracy we're attempting to create, these horizontal, flat forms of communication where people can just come in and talk to other people and participate in discussions similar to the movements around the world, I think that also really works with people. So it's both illustrating the crisis and then creating a really open space that people can come in and dialogue around.
So you mentioned movements around the world. How do you think Occupy Wall Street fits into what we've seen over the last year? And I include any sort of mass demonstration, even those that the Western media has categorized as riots. We're seeing just a general movement frustration on a global scale. How do you think Occupy Wall Street fits into that? Do you think it's building on that? Do you think it's an integral part of what we're seeing?
Both. I think it's building on it and it's an integral part. I think, you know, over the last year in particular in this massive way, but really over the last decade, and this is, I'm going to link it to Argentina, and even going back a little further to the Zapatista movement in Chiapas, where movements really starting in the mid-90s started to occupy space and say, you know, we don't want those same people who put us in this crisis to create the alternative for us. So whether that means the government or the banks or your local government or political parties of any sort, they're part of creating this problem. So we're going to do it ourselves and not put a demand on those people. That doesn't mean there's zero demand on them, but it means we don't want them to resolve our conflict. We don't want them to come up with the alternative. So going back, you know, in Argentina with people taking over factories and then running them themselves, not asking if they can occupy them, not asking for money, actually organizing it themselves and just demanding to be left alone to do that. And that is consistent with this kind of organizing that's been going on all over the world, people coming together in massive protest or in riot in whatever form, expressing a frustration, but then coming together and using forms of horizontal democracy, whether it's assembly forms. But what we're not seeing is, let's organize a political party, let's organize some kind of five-point demand program that the government will then do for us. There might be things like the government needs to stop austerity, the government needs to give us education and health care, but not we want someone else to resolve it. It's, we want to do it for ourselves. So we're seeing both a massive, I think, uprising around the world in people coming together and then looking to one another and doing it also, which I think is really interesting, in public space. So whether that's taking over plazas or on street corners or in workplaces, but the idea of being together in a place. In Latin America, they use the language of territorio, and in a territory. And that's a kind of taking a space together so that you can hold that space to continue to have discussions. And we're hoping in New York, you know, as this is taking off around the country, but we're also hoping that throughout the city people begin to organize neighborhood assemblies and those unions that have endorsed. We hope that locals, that people who are working, come together in their local and kind of retake their union and figure out ways of coming together again, opening space to talk about the crisis and create the alternative.
Because Occupy Wall Street is very clearly placed in contrast to Wall Street itself and the U.S. financial system, a lot of people have been calling it an anti-capitalist demonstration. But what you were talking about is really less ideological and more just practical solutions that people are seeking from their governments. Would you say it's inherently anti-capitalist and part of a global anti-capitalist movement? Or do you think that it's more than that?
I mean, it's definitely a manifestation of anti-capitalism, the same way I think the protests are a manifestation of anti-representative democracy. If you were to talk to many, many people there, they might kind of look at you quizzically if you said, well, are you an anti-capitalist or are you against representative democracy? I think people would say, well, I'm against the banks and I'm against the corporations and I don't think the government and the banks should be making decisions. I think we should have a different kind of government that's not determined by money. So I would say that's anti-capitalism, but I don't think it's actually really important to have that label on it. I think the understanding is important. But people, I don't think, would have that kind of label of anti-capitalism. But I think what is happening around the world when people say, we don't want banks, or we are the 99%, saying they don't want the one small percentage to control the wealth, we are talking about a different organization, a different kind of social relationship, and a different society. But I think it's fine that we don't articulate it that way because, for now, there is so much, you know, the media goes crazy when we say we're anti-capitalist. And so, yes, we're anti-capitalist. The movements are anti-capitalist. But the labels, I think, at this moment are a lot less important as long as we get the banks to stop foreclosing and people to exercise their forms of direct democracy and participation in society. That's what's key.
Do you think that Occupy Wall Street is taking on different forms and employing different methods of organization than comparable mass demonstrations globally because it is on American soil?
It's slightly different. There are, you know, in the U.S., this, you know, kind of a hyper-litigated society plus the rules that the police like to enforce that makes it a little different, I think. I mean, the police are constantly coming into the plaza and telling people, if you have an umbrella leaning against your sleeping bag and you're not holding it, it's a structure taking it away from people. So there is there's a slight difference in that way. I think there's a centrality in it being on U.S. soil that comes not from our social movements. It actually comes from U.S. corporations and domination around the world that brings light to Wall Street in a way that's different, perhaps, than in some places. But I also think it's very similar to the movements around the world and are struggling to have the most democratic assemblies we can possibly have and having working groups that take care of everything from sanitation to outreach to thematic groups talking about politics to figuring out how we can do conflict resolution within our own spaces. I think that is very similar to what people are doing in the actual occupations around the world.
One last comment. Moving forward in the next few weeks, where do you see Occupy Wall Street going? Do you see a lot of global support growing and awareness, especially in the media and with the American public?
I definitely see it growing. I mean, even the Daily News, which is a local newspaper that's not usually supportive of protest, did a poll a few days ago, and they found 75% of New Yorkers support Occupy Wall Street. The amount of support is incredible, and that is a fabulous thing. Our challenge is one of them. You know, the police harassment is really, it's annoying, but I think we're much stronger than that, so it's not as big an obstacle as some might think. It's actually that our numbers are so large. I think in the next few weeks, to strengthen Occupy Wall Street, we'll actually need to help support other people who begin to occupy plazas and spaces in other parts and other boroughs in New York. I actually think that's where it's going. And, you know, this experience of direct democracy and people seeing it and feeling it is something that is catching on. So even if the space were to move, the experience is the same. And I think that's what's key, kind of opposing the banks, opposing this system and a social relationship of capitalism without necessarily calling it that, and creating together ourselves alternative forms of how we can relate and come up with alternatives. So where that happens, as long as it happens, is what's important, I guess.
Thank you so much for coming on the Tuesday Morning After. My name is Ray Julie, and I've been speaking with Marina Citrin.